Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Okay, everybody, this is episode 242. Last week, we had a great conversation with Frater O about all the various organizations that are out there in Freemasonry. It's a really good episode. We had a lot of fun with it. Also, last week, I hope you caught the Masonic Roundtable. We got to talk to a member of the SRICF, which is a Rosicrucian order within Freemasonry, limited to, I think, 72 members, and per state, that is. They're organized in colleges. We had a fascinating time talking about that, and if you have a minute, please go back and listen. I should say more than a minute, actually, about an hour-long episode, which was really nice. So we had a great time. This week on the program, we have a shorter program this week. In any case, did want to mention, please go ahead and visit our sponsor, Brothers Blend Coffee. Brothers Blend Coffee is available in three flavors: Tyler's Cup, Harmony Roast, Adoniram's Brew. You can pick it up at www.brothersblendcoffee.com. It is a coffee produced by Montgomery Lodge in Milford, Massachusetts, to provide the very finest in coffee to the brethren wheresoever dispersed, their friends, families, and colleagues. It is a fundraiser to support the charitable causes and activities and maintenance of that lodge. So for more information, again, just visit their website. Really affordable, and junior wardens, Masonic caterers, get a nice discount. So check them out. We've got a great show this week, and I really wanted to feature some Midnight Freemason stuff, and this week was a great chance to do that because I needed a shorter episode. So we've picked a couple articles from the Midnight Freemasons. If you're not a regular reader, this will be a real treat for you. But I also had another reason for coming on. And in the past, we've had episodes where we showcased the individual contributors to the Midnight Freemasons, and we've covered all of them, but we haven't covered them all recently. So some of the other contributors, you know, we have on here, we've got Brother Aaron Gardner. You're all familiar with myself, and you're familiar with Brother Toddy Creason and Brother Greg Nod and our sister Judy Gordon. Perhaps you know Brother Aaron Gardner. You know, I'll read some of their bios. Brother Aaron Gardner, he's an American soldier who recently transitioned to the reserves after 8 years serving in the active duty army. He dedicates a majority of his free time to Freemasonry with his constant studies, writing, traveling from lodge to learn as much as he can regarding Freemasonry. He likes to relate his everyday life to the craft, and anything he finds he wants to spread to the world. It is his passion to study people, religion, history, and Freemasonry, and he writes about Freemasonry quite a bit, and he's got a couple books out, or at least one that I know of, and he's working on another, and he writes at the blog Celestial Brotherhood. You all know Brother James E. Fry. I love his bio. He says he classifies himself as a gentleman of the old world, which means he is known to stand on the great forests reciting poetry to fair-haired damsels while wrestling bears for sport. He is a district education officer for the Grand Lodge of the State of Illinois, a past sovereign prince of the Danville, ancient accepted Scottish Rite, member of Oak Lawn, York Rite, Medina Shriners, Royal Order of Scotland, Quorum Council, Allied Masonic degrees, and an initiate of the Golden Dawn Collegium Spiritus Sancti. He is also a guest lecturer on occultism and esoteric studies in Masonry for the Rebus Research Society. You guys know Right Worshipful Brother Michael H. Shirley. He always has some fantastic stuff. In fact, I'm going to be reading one of his pieces this week. You're very familiar, I'm sure, with illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison, 33rd degree, with his amazing segments that he puts on, the Masonic Minute. Brother Bill Hosler, another amazing individual whose works have been cited all over the place. We've got Brother Rob Walk Jr. He's been a little absent as of late, but he's got a lot of things going on in his plate. We all know it's family first. Brother Brian Shimian, same thing going on. Great post. Every once in a while when he gets a chance to do some writing, some good stuff. You probably also know that we have Brother Jason Richards of the Masonic Roundtable, who is the Senior Warden of Acacia Lodge No. 16 in Clifton, Virginia. He's also a member of both the Patriot Lodge No. 1957, which I think he demitted from there, and the Farquhar Royal Arch Chapter No. 25 in Fairfax, Virginia. He's also the Chaplain of Perfect Ashlar Council No. 349 of the Allied Masonic Degrees, and he is the sole author of the Masonic Web Blog, The Two-Foot Ruler, Masonry in Plain Language, and again, co-host of the Masonic Roundtable. But since all of that, we've added a few guys. We've got Worshipful Brother Adam Thayer, who has written some real sleeper pieces, and I don't mean anybody, he's not falling asleep. He comes up with these posts, and I think they're great, and we'll post them, and man, they just take off. People really identify with these. That's why I call them sleepers, because you didn't suspect. and he's doing a great job. And every once in a while, again, he does host this program, as well as all of the other Masonic things that he's doing. So he is the senior warden of Lancaster Lodge number 54 in Lincoln, Nebraska, and he's a past master of Oliver Lodge number 38 in Seward, Nebraska. He's an active member of the Knights of St. Andrew, and on occasion remembers to visit the Scottish and York Rites as well. He continues to be reappointed to the Grand Lodge of Nebraska Education Committee and serves with fervency and zeal. Sounds familiar. He is a sub-host on the Wentz KMU podcast and may be reached at adam@wcypodcast.com. He will not help you get your whites whiter or your brights brighter, but he does enjoy conversing with brothers from around the world. Now, we've got Brother Daniel Doc Gentry. Again, he's a brother Master Mason under the Grand Lodge of Ancient Free and Accepted Masons of the state of Illinois in the 1st Northeastern District. His sign is Leo, and he's been known to enjoy long walks in blizzards, and much to our surprise, usually in shorts and sandals. He is stubborn and has no plans of joining York or Scottish Rite anytime soon. Also, in his spare time, he is a great dungeon master for Dungeons & Dragons games, Sacred Geometry, he says. And you can reach him at doc@midnightfreemasons.org. He's a fantastic gent. He's got another podcast that you can check out too called Bros & Dragons. So if you're into Dungeons & Dragons, you should check it out for sure. And most recently, of course, we've got Brother Wayne Greenlee, who is a member of Mount Pleasant Lodge number 361 and Research Lodge Baron Barnett Lodge number 146, both holding under the United Grand Lodge of Queensland. That's Australia. Currently, he is studying a Bachelor of Law honors and a Bachelor of Business at QUT. In his spare time, he likes to read, listen to music, and research the craft. He's looking forward to joining other orders when he's permitted to in the next year, and also to soon begin his journey through the progression of officers, starting with the Inner Guard. So there you have just a quick rundown of a bunch of the new contributors to the site. You know, we were a little bit lax and we hadn't reported on this in a while, and I do apologize. So later in the program, again, we are going to read some great posts from Midnight Freemasons. We've got illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison stopping by with the Masonic Minute. I did also want to mention we've got a really kind of cool thing happening. There is a new Masonic podcast out there. Now, there are no shortage of them anymore. When I started this, there was a couple that were still on iTunes, but they were dead. The only active one was the Digital Freemason, which is fantastic and still available, actually. But there's a new one out there, and it's called Masonic Light. L-I-T-E, right? These guys do a really good job of keeping light topics. They talk about some of the issues and the craft and just some general really kind of cool things. There is a little bit, I've sensed a little bit of a local flavor to the podcast. They do talk about local events and things of that nature, which is really cool. And they're in Pennsylvania. So if you're Pennsylvania Mason, this makes even more sense for you to check them out. So I'm sure that they're going to do great. I wish them all the best. And, you know, one more guy on the block doing the Masonic podcast is actually really wonderful. A lot of people think is there's going to be competition. Well, there's not really competition because we're all doing this for the same reason, for the love of the craft and spreading the light. So I totally welcome them. And brothers, if Masonic Light, if you're listening, congratulations on launching the show. And I really hope you guys have a great go at this. And if you need any assistance in the future, just give me a shout out. So let's see, that'll bring us right into the first post of this week. So this week's first post was a great post. It's not real long, but it was called To Be Heroes, and it's actually by a Right Worshipful Brother Michael H. Shirley. And I found this just a nice inspirational piece, as he usually puts together. And so here we go. Quote, "High sentiments always win in the end. The leaders who offer blood, toil, tears, and sweat always get more out of their followers than those who offer safety and a good time. When it comes to the pinch, human beings are heroic," end quote. The quote is by George Orwell. People want to be inspired and do great things and become great themselves. We all secretly see ourselves as heroes, but know deep down that by ourselves we aren't. Those who enable us to become what we want to be are the best leaders, because ultimately leadership is about inspiring others to be great. The lesson is too often lost in our lodges with the mundane business of running things, driving out aspirations to higher purpose. It's hard to remember why we became Masons during the second hour of minutia-ridden discussion about the advisability of adding waffles to the pancake breakfast menu. Masonry is a progressive moral science whose principles and mystic ceremonies are constructed to convey eternal truths through allegory and beautiful language. It calls us, through its ritual, to live heroically. We cannot ignore the mundane things required to exist in the profane world, but if they become the center of our lives, then we have removed ourselves from the essence of Masonry. We have chosen to be mundane. To live heroically does not mean that we should routinely charge into burning buildings or seek out danger. It means simply that we should aspire to live lives of great purpose, always looking to improve ourselves, and ever seeking to give a voice to the better angels of our nature. Masons are called to be heroes in everyday clothing, helping one another and doing good wherever possible. Let us live, brethren, in the ever-present creative promise of today. Let us be the heroes needed in this moment, now, for ourselves and others. Let us be Masons. Again, that is by Right Worshipful Brother Michael H. Shirley. And now we're going to go right into the Masonic Minute with illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison.
Hamilton, Missouri is a small town about 50 miles east of St. Joseph. It is mainly a farming area, most well known as the birthplace and boyhood home of J.C. Penney. Penney was an active Freemason who at one time owned the lodge building, but the Masons were well established in Hamilton before Penney was born. The Masonic Lodge there was founded in 1867 and was located in a small brick storefront building in the center of town. Several commercial establishments lined the street, including the usual drug and dry goods stores common in small towns in that era. A larger building adjoining Hamilton Lodge would, many years hence, be the home of the 500th J.C. Penney department store. At the time, though, townsfolk bought the kind of merchandise Penney's would eventually sell either at the dry goods store or the general store, located down the street. Jacob Goldberg owned the general store, and he lived on the floor above it with his wife. Sadly, never completely accepted in the town because of their Jewish heritage, the Goldbergs nevertheless made a good living and assimilated relatively well until the scandal forced them to leave town. Mrs. Goldberg, it seems, was the curious type. Many nights she saw the Masons enter the lodge for their meetings. She saw the lights upstairs and heard stories about secret and mysterious things happening inside. One night, as later reported by the Hamilton newspaper, she couldn't stand it anymore. She crafted a plan to observe the sinister goings-on in the Masonic meeting. The lodge, as was common for buildings in those days, had a trap door in the second-story flooring. On the night of the meeting, Mrs. Goldberg hid on the first floor. Once the meeting was underway, she tiptoed out of hiding and took the ladder used for climbing to the trap door and put it in place. She carefully climbed to the top and ever so slightly opened the door. Mrs. Goldberg stared in wonder and amazement as she watched the opening ceremony. She was, in fact, so enthralled by what she was seeing, she didn't notice the ladder beginning to slip just a bit. Then, suddenly, the ladder fell and crashed along with Mrs. Goldberg onto the floor below. Hearing the ruckus, not to mention the screaming that followed, the Masons unceremoniously suspended their meeting. They ran downstairs to find Mrs. Goldberg and the ladder lying in a heap, and Mrs. Goldberg with a broken arm. Doc Tuttle set Mrs. Goldberg's arm. In time, broken bones heal, but the embarrassment and humiliation of Mrs. Goldberg's scandalous actions lived on. Shortly after her misguided spy mission, the Goldbergs left Hamilton and were never heard from again. For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
All right, always fantastic. I hope you guys really enjoyed that. As usual, you can find the videos which accompany these great audio pieces at the WCY Podcast channel. on YouTube. They are also featured on Stephen L. Harrison's YouTube channel as well. So please do check those out. And if you don't mind, stop on by and check out the WCY bookstore and check out one of those books by Stephen L. Harrison. They are wonderful books. So the next Midnight Freemason piece that I really want to dive into, it's, again, not another long one here, but this is a series being written by Todd E. Creason, and he's not quite done yet. I know he's got a few more of these, and I think they're going to be very popular very soon. These pieces offer something pretty unique, so let's dive into it. Bringing Back the Light, Introduction, by Midnight Freemason founder Todd E. Creason, 33rd Degree. Homer Lodge, number 199 in Illinois, has many of the common problems Masonic lodges struggle with today. But it's how the members of the lodge came to deal with these issues that make it an extraordinary story. It's an old Masonic lodge in a small town. The membership aged and hadn't brought in any new members in a long time. As a result, it was suddenly faced with some very grim realities. The Royal Arch chapter of the York Rite that had met there for more than 150 continuous years lost its charter. In fact, so strong was the Royal Arch in Homer that it was the York Rite that had financed the building in Homer. But they were no longer able to make a quorum, and the chapter's long history in Homer ended. The members of the lodge saw the writing on the wall, and fearing the same demise as the Royal Arch chapter, as it struggled to get enough members to a meeting to make a quorum. Without new members, the lodge would inevitably face closure as well. There were enough dual members from another local lodge, Ogden Lodge number 754, to prop up the lodge. That bought time, but wasn't a permanent solution. To make matters worse, the annual district deputy visit, the lodge got a very bad report. The work wasn't up to par. The lodge was dirty, disorganized, and not in the best state of repair. Of course, the members knew the building issues well. The roof needed to be replaced. The plaster and paint hadn't been attended to in decades. The floors needed work. The furniture was in bad shape. The entrance door needed to be replaced. Some electrical work, carpet, insulation, windows, you name it. The lodge needed it. It seemed pretty hopeless. There was a difficult decision that had to be made. Do we try and bring it back, or do we let it go? The conventional wisdom is to let lodges like that go, merge into a stronger lodge. But Homer Lodge had a few things going for it, like three businesses on the first floor, dutifully paying rent each month, including a United States post office. The lodge had some money, and while the membership problem was difficult, the town, for the most part, didn't even know they were still there. It made them wonder what might happen if the town knew they were still there. As I said, the problem is pretty ordinary. We've all heard stories like this before, but 3 years ago, it was the decision the lodge made and all the things that followed that makes this story extraordinary. And that's the story I'm going to tell you over the coming weeks, with the hope that you'll take something from it. And that is the end of that piece. It is my hope to actually bring you each continuing piece every week as they come out. We gave this first piece a 2.5 week lead time, so we want to make sure that we have enough time for our readers to check it out on the blog itself before we just go reading it to everybody. But I really love these pieces. So if you like them too, please head on over to the Midnight Freemasons and check them out. They are just fantastic. So now it comes the time of the show where normally I would read something about a famous Freemason. However, this week I am a little pressed for time, and we did cover some good gentlemen in the beginning, maybe some Masonic B-list celebrities. We had our writers from the Midnight Freemasons featured in the beginning. I don't want you to feel like I'm copping out. I just didn't have a whole lot of time this week. And as you know, the show was late last week by more than 24 hours, 26 hours to be exact. I do apologize for that. The weeks have been crazy getting ready for lots of different things going on here in the first Northeastern District, as well as work has just been crazy. Not to mention, you know, I have the new baby. So I know you guys all understand, so no big deal. But if you want to support the show, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on the limited edition shop, and pick up one of our lapel pins, some cufflinks, perhaps a money clip. If you'd just like to support the show other ways, you can, of course, do some great shopping over at onnit.com. Make sure you click through our links and use the promo code WCY for 10% off. That'll help you out with some shipping costs. You can also do the same thing over at freemasonryart.com. So go visit our good friend and brother Juan Sepulveda, for some great stuff. Of course, it's all made here in the United States, made by Brother, unique products of unavailable anywhere else. Professional, fine art, amazing quality, real lambskin aprons. He does a great job, and personally, my favorite is this new piece he's got that's gone up there, and it's called Unlocking Knowledge, and it's only $25, but it's got, man, it's just my favorite. It is my favorite piece of Masonic art, hands down, that I've ever seen, the one thing I ever saw that I said, I have to have that, and I do have it, and it sits above my secretary's desk at home, and I just love it. So, Brother Juan, if you hear this, then hats off to you again, but I know I've told you before, just amazing fine art, great job. So if you want one of those too, check it out. In fact, his artwork, that very piece, was featured on the front of Living Stones magazine. This is last month. And some of you have inquired. They said, hey, when I click on the remastered Manly P. Hall lectures, nothing happens. I have recently discovered that there may be some issue if you are an international Freemason accessing a Google Drive folder. If that is the case, I do apologize. I don't have a way to fix that at the moment, but I will look into it. If you are just now hearing about this, yes, we do have remastered Manly P. Hall lectures. If you go to wcypodcast.com and click on the link, then click on the photo of Manly P. Hall, you can pick any one of those lectures. They're all free. You can just download them. I just threw the files up on Google Drive after I cleaned them and scrubbed them and did everything I could to make them sound 100% better. And with that, I think we're going to call it for the week. Please don't forget to check the Midnight Freemasons again 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, for great content. Of course, Brother Todd E. Creason also maintains a blog called From Labor to Refreshment, and he's now going back to a 3-post-a-week schedule, which we're really excited about, because he just is he's a great writer, and he's got a lot of good stuff to say. So please do check that out as well. The Masonic Roundtable goes live every Tuesday at 10, 9 Central. We're live, so if you want to interact with us, check it out. Just click, go over to the website and click on the link to watch the show at 10, 9 Central there, and you can even interact with us by either on Twitter or via the event page on Facebook. We have all of our episodes as events, so check those out. And until next week, fellas and some ladies, stay on the level. I'll talk to you guys all next week. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.